her that answer because both Larry and I have just been rereading Seraphin's Mediterranean Adventure in preparation for this special edition.
The political situations in many of the countries we visited
have changed dramatically since this book was originally written. Yugoslavia, a place where we not only got arrested by the military, but also were included in the life of tiny island communities, no longer exists. It was, just as the people we met 3 decades ago warned us, torn apart by civil war soon after Tito died. But in the ensuing years, the islands we loved along the Dalmatian coast have become even more welcoming to sailing visitors, and you can now sail into Albania without fear of being arrested. Gibraltar is no longer a smuggler's haven or the scene of fence-side weddings at a closed, armed border since Spain joined the European Union. The list of physical changes in ports we visited could fill a book, yet friends who are currently cruising in the Mediterranean Sea send us letters filled with stories of pleasures they are finding there right now. The wonderful historical sites still cause cruisers to wear out their sandals as they roam through the ruins of history. Intriguing anchorages still lure more adventurous sailors away from the enticements of towns and cities. The often fickle winds and currents still challenge sailors, and just as they did back then, people tell us it is impossible to sail in the Med. Yet we still hear of sailors who wait for the night breezes and sail across velvety smooth seas without turning to their engines except to maneuver into port. Today, more cruisers take the time to visit the far eastern reaches of this inland sea than was the case back then. Some venture north into the Black Sea, waters that were off limits to us back when we cruised on Seraphin. More Israeli ports are open to voyagers. The red tape of officialdom, though, may be different, but it is still there. Only now, there are websites and electronic translators to help you through it all. Though we are told many potential difficulties can still be avoided by adhering to the old adage, just act dumb and smile a lot. It is what hasn't changed that we feel makes this book not only relevant for today's sailors, but also one of our favorites. The sheer variety of sights, sounds, flavors, and pleasures available inside this relatively small inland sea is unbeatable. The seamanship required to navigate its waters safely, to anchor securely, still tests those who voyage here. The leisurely pace of life you will experience once you slide comfortably into European rhythms will lead to many experiences similar to those we write about in this book. The original introduction to this book, written almost 30 years ago, still holds true today. And that is why I urge Kim to get back out to sea. I remind her that voyaging on board a small, well-found vessel is a unique way to move gently into other people's lives, then move onward again, with time to savor what you have seen and learned. In a world more rushed than ever, life afloat moves at a pace that is humane and natural. So in spite of its occasional inconveniences and sacrifices, the life described in this book is one we still find to be elegant beyond most others. Lynn and Larry Party, Kawau Island, New Zealand, June 2011. Chapter 1. Gibraltar. There are two mooring areas for visiting yachts in Gibraltar. The first is called the Destroyer Pens. The second, the Marina. During the 4 winter months we spent at Gibraltar, the first area earned its name over and over again. The second one didn't quite make it. We had been advised to sail Seraphin alongside the Rock Airport runway that forms one side of the Marina area. 200 boats of all types lay stern to against rickety wooden floats that extended out from shore to a huge, dilapidated barge which lay sunk in 8 feet of water. There was just enough room to set our anchor about 100 feet from the docks. As soon as it grabbed hold and we lowered our sails, the two of us launched rinky-dink over the side. Larry took our passports, Seraphin's registration documents, and his wallet, and rowed ashore to arrange our port clearance. I set about furling our sails properly and packing our shower kits along with fresh clothes. We had been at sea for 5 days. The voyage south from Sesembra, which is on the west coast of Portugal, had been eventful, but now my only thoughts were on the huge rock fortress that towered over us, the Rock of Gibraltar. Its name brought back school lesson memories of Homer, Nelson, the Great Wars, Britain's vanishing empire, and insurance company.